Hi, and welcome to Journeyers Podcast. I'm your host, Susan Clark, and I'll bring you guests who have stories and tools to share with you discussing resilience, authenticity, and the freedom that those things brought them. Let's get started. Hi, guys. Today I have on the phone with me Abigail Shippers of Bad Marketing Company. She is awesome. She does super cool work, but more than that, she's just a super cool person. This human I got to meet a couple years ago, but have just gotten to know her a little bit better more recently. And I think that you're just going to really enjoy what she has to say. So, Abigail Shippers, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, Susan, how's it going?
It's going.
And hi, guys. This is super fun. I've never been on a podcast before, so I'm excited to share this with you guys. Let's see. So, my name's Abby or Abigail. I get both. And I'm the owner of Bad Marketing, like Susan said. And I came into marketing by the most traditional way of teaching yoga. That's how most people get there anyways.
Absolutely.
and really, so Bad Marketing is just about a year old at this point. And really, I thought it was kind of a random move when I started this company. But now I can look back at it and be like, oh, I spent a decade preparing for this. But before I can tell you all about that journey and all that coolness, but what is probably more relevant is like, what the hell does bad marketing do? Right. And I would say, so bad marketing has two facets. The one it started as is a web design company for small businesses that are in their first 5 years of launching. And often it's their first website. And in the past 9 months, where the business has really gone is marketing coaching. And what that means is that I teach those small businesses how to market themselves in a way that's true to them and still gets the word out. And that just came from listening to what people really needed and offering that out of my skill set.
Awesome. And that's, you know, it just kind of flowed organically, right? Like that's the beautiful thing that when things do that and you land where you're, I don't like the word supposed or should, either of those words. I don't love them, but I think there's something there, right? Like that it helps you land where you're supposed to be, helping the people that were meant to be in your path. So
absolutely. I think, I was dead set on being a yoga teacher for the rest of my life and had been doing that for 3 years. And then it was just not working and on a few levels. But I loved it so much. And I felt often that there was space to take the principles of yoga, of mindfulness, of really like taking good care of yourself, listening to yourself, and bringing those into the business realm. Because I have for a long time done like freelance work in the business realm. And so I just used like the principles that I got from my own yoga practice of listening to myself, applied them to listening to my clients and gave them what they needed.
Awesome. Yeah. So when I met you, you were, in full yoga mode when I first met you. It was from the sidelines and a little further removed, I think it was cool to watch the process because exactly what you said, like you know, your jam was just like, I'm doing this forever, yoga forever. Like, and not that you don't practice yoga still, but and do really cool things with it. So side note, one of the things I just really love about Abby is, well, just her heart and her presence, but she uses what she does to connect with people, but also Not just on a like, hey, let's connect and do this, but in a very like, and how can we do this to help or to change things? And so I got to do some morning yoga at her house, and apparently we have an airplane right over my house right now. I apologize. And anyway, sorry. So she did this donation yoga class as a fundraiser. And we got to have coffee because everything is better with coffee. as we both sip on our respective drinks this morning. But what was cool about it is everything that it was. And I love that instead of sitting back and going, there's a problem out in the world, of which there are many to choose from. There's a problem, and I feel really passionately about this, and I'm just going to, like, be sad about it. right? Which is real, and you should be, you know, like, yeah, it, like, that's a real response to what's going on. But Abby took it one step further and just said, okay, so there's a thing going on. And we're going to do some yoga because yoga is all about connecting with yourself and where you are in that moment. And so wherever you were in that moment, she led you through it. and then we were able to raise money for a cause, right? So talk to me about that a little bit, or talk to us about that. Because that felt really real, but obviously I wasn't behind the scenes on how you were like, oh, hey, let's do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the way you talk about it, because it really was, I found myself crying over this particular issue in the news for several days, and then it got to the point where it was like, okay, like, this has been 2 weeks where I'm consistently really upset about this, and I'm blown away that I feel like no one else is. And I was also, I had this story in my mind while I was sort of, like, feeling this pain, and it was like, oh, I'm too busy for this. Like, I actually have enough going on in my life, and I can't do anything to fix it because, at the time I had just started working with a new coach myself, and that was pretty intense. And I had fairly recently ended a romantic relationship. So I was like, I have my own stuff going on, and that was real. and at the same time, anything I've done in my life of substance or that's had an impact has been done in an inconvenient time. I don't think that there is a convenient time, actually.
Well, if it were convenient, we probably wouldn't be moved to do it, right? Like, yeah, we'd have no urgency about it.
Yeah, and I just, like, I've stopped feeling like life is going to slow down and get easier, and I've just started being like, okay, well, how can I do this in a way that works for where I'm at right now? So in that case, I had quit teaching yoga in a consistent way several months before that, and I missed that, and I said, hey, I have a ton of experience throwing yoga events getting community together for donation-based events like this. I can do this with, like, an hour of effort to, like, make this happen, and then the actual event, which, of course, takes several hours. But I was like, if I let myself do this in a way that's not perfect, I can throw a donation-based yoga class, let it be small, let it be simple, and still actually really make a difference for people. So it was a little bit of, like, calling myself on my own bullshit of whether or not I had space to be a thoughtful human, really. And then also, like, being humble enough to be like, I'm not going to make this event perfect. I'm going to make it good. And that's exactly what it was. I can give you 25 things that I would do differently next time. but at the same time, I think and I hope, well, no, I know that because people told me, many, many people, even far more than actually came to the event, made a point of telling me, like, hey, like, thank you. I was inspired by what you did, and I donated to this, or they donated through me. And it just really reminded me, like, no, the world does not need me to be perfect. They don't need, like, this polished version of me. They need me to care and try.
I love that. Yeah. So my, you know, what I do is journeying with people in stepping fully into their authentic self, right? And acting out of that authenticity. And you do that really well. And you, and having attended the said event, I feel like we're talking very cryptically about it. Like, feel free to, like, talk about what this was if you want. And I'll drop a link, too, in the show notes for this cause. Because this is a the group that was fundraising for it fundraises for multiple things. Yes. And they are amazing. So I'd love to hear your take on it, because I think I encountered them in a different capacity a while back. So...
So the event, it was a yoga class with like a light brunch to follow, with the goal of raising money for children, immigrant children that are detained and needing lawyers. So that was like the very specific goal. And then Glennon Doyle has a charity that is known to, her charity supports many causes, but one of the reasons we donated through her charity for that specific cause was because they do not spend money on overhead. No one is, maybe no one is paid in it, but at any rate, they're like one of the most efficient charities for actually putting donations to the actual purpose. And so in total, we donated, I want to say a little over $400 from one morning to those
awesome.
Lawyer fees,
which is awesome. And it was a beautiful, like, every, I mean, we had a kind of perfect sunny blue sky morning for it, which added to it. But honestly, I think it would have been equally beautiful if it weren't gorgeous and sunny that day. Because you did what you do, which is bring people together, and just lead them through a time of moving their bodies and getting in touch with themselves, just being really connected with where you are in that moment and honoring where you are in that moment, not where you're trying to be.
Absolutely. And I think that felt coffee, important so that to me too, to be like, okay, I'm asking you to donate to this cause, but I don't ever want to ask someone to give when they're not receiving. And so to me, like, a yoga class is a really perfect way to collect donations for something, because it's like, no, you matter too. You need to be taken care of if you're going to give anything away. I think our society misses that. And, you know, people like us that are doing this work, we're like really trying to do that better. But it's hard for everyone to take care of themselves. And so I think that having that like cyclical, like, here, this is for you, and I'm going to support you so that you have something to give energetically to someone else.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah, because it is just an energy exchange, right? On some level, all of it is. And so, yeah, that was just I think that's a cool example of how, even though yoga isn't your livelihood at this point, it is still such a huge part of who you are and what you do in the way in which you connect with others. It's been cool to watch that journey, though, from like I said, from the sidelines. I get to connect with you here and there along the way.
Yeah.
But I get to kind of watch it, you know, just following your Instagram and running into you because we seem to have a lot of mutual contacts.
Yes.
it's always funny when you run into that, right? And you're like, oh, of course you're here. Of course
right?
You're here.
Yeah.
Oh, man. So one of the things I talk about a lot, because it's, to me, very much entwined with authenticity, is resilience. Mm. And I would love to just hear you really open to how you interpret that question or that idea, but I'd love to just hear your thoughts on resilience.
Oh man, I love resilience. That's what I think. I think there's so many ways to approach resilience. I think ultimately it comes down to, no matter what happens, no matter what I do, what situation I'm in, if I have public accolade or people hate me, which both happen all the time, resilience for me is the internal coming back to myself and being like, hey, Abby, I love you. Like, me to me, I don't care, like, what other people are saying. Like, it matters. And I think my first reaction will always be to be very affected by other people because I'm very empathetic. But after, like, having that reaction and being like, okay, cool, like, I'm affected by what this other person thinks, but ultimately, I love me. I care about me, and I know I'm doing my best, and I know I'm going to learn and grow. And, like, really being the comforting parent to my inner child, which I don't know how much your audience knows about reparenting, but what do they know about reparenting?
Well, you know what? Assume they know nothing, because my audience is very, very varied. I pull in guests from so many different ideas and places and sources, so you just never know who you're gonna have listening, and we're new. you're catching us on our baby stage. So
totally. All right, so I'll talk about reparenting in like 30 seconds. But basically, I think that if you want to be resilient, if you want to keep going day after day and keep creating from a really soul-centered place, keep giving with actual love, whatever you're doing, whether you're flipping a burger or writing a blog post or you're the president of the United fucking States, if you want to keep going, you have to have that like core center of coming back to your own self with love. And for me, reparenting is how I got to that practice, which I would say probably looks different for everyone. But reparenting at its core is acknowledging the inner child that we all have inside of us that is scared and confused and uncertain about the world. And to put it in psychological terms, the scared inner child is your subconscious mind, which is formed from the years 0 to 7 of our childhood. And that's really the way, like, whatever experiences we have from 0 to 7, those experiences, like, we don't know how to logic and deduce at that point. So we take whatever reality we think is happening, whether that's like mom and dad fight, and therefore that means I'm the problem, or like, it doesn't have to actually be right, but it's whatever we think reality is at 7 years old. That is our subconscious programming that we carry for the rest of our lives or until we address it and reprogram it. And so the subconscious shows up a lot if you have like habits or patterns in your life where you're like, which we all do, where you're like, man, I keep doing this thing and I don't know why.
I know it's not good for me, but I keep doing it. Or it doesn't make any sense, but I keep doing it. Like, how do I keep finding myself in the same situation?
Exactly. And you're like baffled. Or you're like, I keep drawing people into my life or you don't even know that you're drawing them in, but you're like, hey, there's all these people that do the same thing to me. What the heck? Like, is this the way the world works? No, you're drawing them in with your subconscious. And don't worry, I do it too. And we're all going to be okay.
Yes.
And so reparenting is the process of teaching that subconscious or that inner child, whichever term feels more comfortable to you, how to re-understand the world. And it comes with, it looks like things like, hey, little girl, little boy, I love you even though you made a mistake. Mm. Hey, little girl, little boy, you are valuable no matter what you do. Hey, little girl, little boy, I'm going to protect you and keep you safe. You don't have to thrash around and make sure you're safe. I'm looking out for you. I hear your fear, and I got you.
Mm. Those are powerful.
So that's reparenting. I love
that. That is like a very quick but really great explanation of reparenting.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, yeah, thank you.
Probably tip of the iceberg.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But that also speaks to why there are a million and one people out there doing various self-help that really comes down to different interpretations of how you do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm sure that's something that you touch on with clients, is it?
Yeah. And not in those terms directly, but yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I will often talk about things like making a choice because you can go back and change, like, that most decisions aren't permanent, right? There are very few choices that you can make and actions that you can take that are actually permanent. And so giving you the freedom to make a choice, because you always have the ability to go back and change, make a different choice. Even if it doesn't mean that every choice is awesome and perfect and whatever, but it means that that'll give you an opportunity. And that you can come back and give yourself the grace to say, like, oh, like, maybe that wasn't the number one choice. But, one, I learned from it. I learned either about myself, about the world, or about somebody else. And now I can make a different choice. But I am safe in making a decision, because no matter what decision I make, it's going to have an outcome. And even the best decision, even saying yes to exactly what you want, is going to mean that there are people or institutions or whatever that aren't on board with you, right? That there may be things falling away, or that we may view as falling apart, because of you making a choice, even though it's absolutely the right choice. And so knowing that you are safe and secure in who you are. So go ahead and make that choice, because you will be okay.
I love that. I think that I personally really struggled with making choices for a lot of years, because I had this narrative that there was a right and wrong choice. Mm. And if I made the wrong choice, like, there was no coming back. And if I made the right choice, it would be perfect, which is also insane.
Right, yeah. Also not true.
So this is, when you talk about that, that actually reminds me of a recent experience I had in a sort of dramatic way with that.
Mm.
I went to grad school in... last semester.
I'm sorry, I giggle, audience, because I talked to Abby briefly about this before.
Yeah,
and my thoughts when she signed up. But I want to, share, and then I will share my my outsider take.
I love that. I love that. So I went to grad school for a semester, and graduate school had been a part of my quote unquote destiny for. A decade. and had always been like a conversation about my future and something that I would need for certain professional goals that I thought were, I wasn't actually like drawn to them, but they seemed right for me. Mm. Right.
That's a really big distinction, right?
Yeah.
Like that they seemed right for me. I think it's really easy to get confused by that and think like, because it seems right for me, I must be drawn to it. And those aren't the same thing. They aren't interchangeable. Sometimes they are, right? Like sometimes they're the same thing for a person, but often they are not interchangeable.
Yeah. And for me, I really didn't get that until I did the semester of grad school. Really killed myself because I was also in year one of a business and at the time still teaching yoga. And I was going to school full time, by the way. So it was very, very intense. And I had to get really real with myself at the end of that semester. And I was like, why is this not my priority? Like, why, when I get up in the morning, do I do everything else first and then not? And then, like, the education that is technically the first priority is the last thing to happen. And when I sat with that and I talked to a few people that I really respected and that know me well, and got their feedback, and I was like, yep, I don't actually want this career path in any way. And I absolutely had to do that semester to find out, because I had, it had been such a narrative in my life for so long that I needed the experience on the ground to be like, oh yeah, I don't care. So like a $10,000 learning lesson, but like, great, I got it. And now I can move forward with such confidence on the things that I do care about.
Absolutely. Yeah. So watching you finish the undergrad portion and be really anxious just to be done with that. And with the just all the things that go with being in school, not the learning, because you definitely seem to enjoy the learning part of it, but the, you know, the nitty gritty, of it and the, and being, you know, this is again, the outside looking in going, oh, great. Like she got done. She seems really excited about that. And then it was like, I'm going back to school. And I was like, in what sick world is that a good idea? Like truly, I was like, wow, huh. I must have really been off the mark with this. Like, I really didn't see her as enjoying that part of the process. Like, I am really confused by this. This doesn't feel right, but I must be missing something because, you know, I'm sure she knows what she's doing. So fast forward to the end of that semester and you're like, yeah, so I'm not doing that anymore. And I was like, okay, that feels, yeah, that seems right. So it's interesting, but I think that speaks to sometimes we get so, we're so close to something that we can't see it. Right. Mm-hmm. Like I had the advantage, we'll say, of checking that out from, you know, to use like a sports stadium analogy, you know, I might have been sitting halfway up. I wasn't in the front row. And so I could see sort of the play develop, right? Like all the pieces that when you're in it, you can only see the thing right in front of you. So anyways, I just thought that was a really interesting story when we had a chance to talk about it before. I was just like, huh, yeah, no, that didn't make sense to me, but okay. Like, you do what you need to do.
Right? But I loved it when you told me that because it was, like, so validating of what my new perspective looking back at the past few years told me. But it was such a new perspective that I was like, is this reality? And then you said that to me, you know, I don't know, a few weeks ago. You were like, yeah, that never made sense to me. I respected it, but like, I didn't get it. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that just like goes to show like, there's so much value in the relational nature of humanity and like how I learned about myself through you. Even though we weren't working together in a professional capacity or, and we don't have like constant contact with each other or anything like that. And yet like your perspective still validated something really important in me.
Mm. You
know?
Yeah.
And oh. It added peace to my life. And I think, one, thank you.
Well, you're very welcome. I'm grateful for that.
And two, I'm like, and I have this lesson over and over again personally, but oh my God, humans, we need each other so much.
Yes. So much of that. We are built for connection. That is, so I have just a few years on Abby. and so I have this really interesting experience, and journey really with technology, right? Where I grew up, like dial up was a thing. and it wasn't a thing when I was really little. Right. So I grew up with that and now we're where we are. Like, you know, we had a family computer. Yeah. Apple IIc, like back in the day. Right. And that was a big deal. Like not all of our friends had computers. Like it was a big deal that we had this. And, you know, over time, you know, within, you know, just a couple of years, slowly people started to all have them. But then the internet and we had AOL and oh, my gosh, the pain of trying to connect, like actually like get technology to connect, not even trying to connect with you. But the whole thing, what was really cool in that was, you know, after you were able to connect with actual humans that weren't geographically near you, which opened up a whole new world in a lot of different ways. Some were good and some were bad, right? Like it exposed you to danger in a way that we didn't necessarily know how to protect ourselves from yet. So that was a piece of it. And that's a piece of any connection, right? Like when you let yourself be vulnerable with somebody, you're opening yourself up to the potential that they could hurt you. But you're also opening yourself up to these beautiful things that can come from that connection. And most people aren't coming at you with this intention of harm, right? So you may still get hurt in the process just because we're humans and we are far from perfect. And we can do everything right and still end up hurting people, which I think is a hard lesson to understand. On both ends, right? That you can do everything right and still end up hurting somebody around you, but also that like somebody can hurt you and it wasn't deliberate or intentional and it wasn't ill-willed. Like they weren't like, you know what would really make my day is if I could just destroy you. Like that's like most people, there are some people maybe in leadership positions doing that, but like as a whole, like most people aren't doing that. And even in relationship, intimate relationships, in work relation, in business relationships, all of those things. Huh. So anyways, so the internet, going back to that and technology and how that's been an interesting journey for me, right? And so I had a cell phone, I had a car phone. Like, I had a car phone, my friends.
That is too funny.
The big old plug-in. Oh, yeah.
And also, that means you were very cool, right?
Oh, I was, yeah, or something. I don't know if anybody would describe me as cool. I don't know.
Right now, I'll give it to you right now. That made you very cool.
Thank you. Yeah, and so I did that, and then I had a cell phone, and now, you know, like, for a long time, when the iPhone became a thing, I wouldn't get one, because I knew about myself, I'm like, if I get one, I'm never going back. Like, I'm really happy right now with my flip phone, so I don't want to upgrade to an iPhone because I'll never go back. And then eventually I bit the bullet and did the iPhone thing, and let me tell you, I'm not going back. However, let me tell you this piece, I am learning what boundaries I set with my phone, right? Like, notifications that get turned off at certain times of day or night. I, in general, recommend not having your phone next to you at night. And when my kids are gone, I don't have that benefit. I have to have my phone next to me in case they call, in case there's an emergency. So I, you know, keep my phone by me, but I'm doing a better job of not doing that all the time. But also, right, like I was talking about, though, like just, so now you have all these different ways to connect with people, but there is a piece of that where we feel connected with people that we actually don't have any connection to.
Right?
Like,
weird.
Yeah. It's bizarre. Like, you get to see, and now some people are sharing every single thing. Most people, you're only seeing a piece of it, but you like feel like you're a part of their life, which is kind of cool. But at the end of the day, you're not truly connected with them. So how do you build really true connection with the people you are? And if there is somebody that you're encountering in an online space, how do you build that connection with them so that it is something that's real and not just this perception?
I think this is really, so what I teach is organic marketing, which means that you are not utilizing ads to meet new people or connect with new people that are maybe potential clients, but you are specifically and intentionally reaching out to people that you think you could help, and creating content geared towards those people and using only the reach that you get naturally, organically. Really trying not to use the word to describe it.
I'm going to use the word to define the word. Yeah, I get that.
But it's very interesting because it's a specific skill set that we haven't, at least my generation and your generation, have not grown up knowing how to build connection online in a really natural way. We're much better. We were trained to do that in person. And even like over the phone was a thing, but it wasn't done well. Like I remember like telemarketers were a much bigger thing when I was a kid and we had a home phone, and now it's like, you know, you get a recording call, but you don't, side note. distracted. But anyways, so a lot of the conversation and teaching that I work with clients on is teaching them how to specifically reach out to somebody, say in their Instagram DMs, and build that relationship from the ground up. Like, hey, I see that your content relates to me in these ways and I appreciate that, and this is who I am in a very short way, and I just like want to actually connect human to human. Because without that, we can take this like super great hamster wheel of liking each other's photos for the next 3 years and think that we know this person really well because we know what they had for lunch and we answered their poll and vice versa, but never talk to them, even on instant message or instant message. Wow.
Yeah, we're going back to AIM.
I'm like in my head with that, you said AOL, and I'm like there, in the DMs or even in comments. And it's really eye-opening to me how many people are not even comfortable commenting on each other's photos because that feels really personal. And so I think there's a lot of perspective shift to be done in the next couple years as we really integrate social media into our social lives and our connection, the way that we get connection with other humans. And I think there's a big shift that needs to happen from passively scrolling and liking, if you maybe are feeling brave, to using social media as an interactive piece. Like, I don't think social media is going anywhere. I think we need to evolve to use it in a way that still requires a little bit of vulnerability so that we do have that connection. And I see that happening as, one, actually creating content ourselves. That's why I love Instagram stories. It's a low-pressure way to actually share part of your life rather than just watch other people's lives. And then I think it's about commenting and DMing with and actually sharing your opinion and your experience. And of course, respectfully, and you know, there's a lot of tact involved, but I think, and I've experienced profoundly in my life, that social media can be a connection piece, not the only one for sure, but it can be a really genuine way to connect with people if you let it be that.
Yeah, that's, that's so good, Abs.
Thanks. I know I got a little long-winded there. I'm passionate about healthy social media use. Really passionate about that.
Yes. And it shows. No, it's good. I like that. There's such an ability, though, to use that, and not just from a marketing perspective, but as people, to connect with other humans.
Okay.
Because you can build a relationship that's really true through messaging. Not just, like, somebody can be geographically very far away that you maybe don't have the opportunity to physically meet, but you can build that connection, I think, through that. It's what you talked about, though. It's taking it one step further, right? And it's opening yourself up to that. Going, I'm going to leave this comment, or I'm going to message them, right?
Yeah.
It takes a certain level of vulnerability, depending on how you're wired, right? For some people, it's like not a big deal, but for some people, that's a big step to put something out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So addressing that in a way that feels really authentic and true to who you are. Excuse me. Yeah. So I want to jump back just quickly here to something you said about resilience, or how we started talking about resilience. But one of the things that I see in you is absolutely resilience, and authenticity that I see through your vulnerability. You are really open, about where you are, what you're feeling. And it's a huge part of your resilience, right? Because you're like, I might be here right now. and that's true. So I'm going to feel that and I'm going to sit with it. I'm going to hang out there for a minute. But then I'm going to go forward from there.
Yeah.
Because I've got some stuff to do. Like, I got some people to help. I've got some world changing to do. So I just think that even, to me, a part of this is you're, you know, going that transition from yoga instructor as a life, like as something that's bringing in your income, to building your own business in a completely different realm. That, to me, also speaks of resilience. It's that flexibility, that being able to go from A to B and go, that was very much aligned with who I am, and so is this. And even though they don't necessarily seem similar, they still are aligned with who I am. And I think when you're making choices that are aligned with who you are, it is easy to bounce from one thing to the next. And I don't say easy to be dismissive. It's hard. Okay. It's simple, but really difficult to do. There's a lot there, right? That process can be really difficult, but the steps seem simple from the outside. You know, so you still are able to use yoga to help others and for your own practice. What was the kind of, I don't know, was there a piece of that transition that was mourning or grieving? Like, did it feel like a loss, or did it feel so like, boop, here we go?
Oh my God, it was such a grieving process. I have been doing the work in a freelance way for several years, if not probably even more than that, of web design, social media, content creation, newsletters, you know, those types of things. So it wasn't a morning of, oh, I'm going to do different work. It was an adjustment of the ideal I had in my head. And I have always really believed, and don't anymore, that if you do the work you love, the money will come. And I love that phrase, and I love that ideal, and I think that there's a nugget of truth to it, but that's not the inherent truth in our current economic system. So I think when you do what you love, when you meet a very specific burning desire in other people that they're willing to pay highly for, and when you're willing to adjust so that you are meeting their needs in the way that they need it, whether you're an accountant or a yoga teacher or a life coach, you know, I don't think that actually matters. It's can you take what you love and turn it into what people really need? So, and I had to grieve the ideal of being a yoga teacher and having that be like my whole life, my whole focus. And a lot of it, very succinctly, I left yoga teaching as a full-time gig because I got fed up with me and the people around me not being able to financially support themselves by doing full-time and above the work that they loved. And that's not a complaint at any specific studio. It's an awful system we live in. And this is maybe a bit of a side note, but I think from the outside, it looks like yoga is a very expensive industry to take part in. You go to a studio and you're like, it costs $99 a month to do this? Oh my God. And I totally get that because I felt that way. And then on the other side of it, no one's making money.
Right.
No one's even paying the bills with that job. No matter how hard they work, it's just industry-wide. And I got really, really fed up with that. And I said, at some point, it was like, I don't have to live like this. I don't have to struggle paycheck to paycheck. I have this other skill set that I've spent a lot of money developing that could help not only me, but all of my comrades make more money. And so from that, it was like, I see this problem. I'm mad about it. It's a lot like the donation yoga class. It was like, I see a problem. I'm upset about it. I'm consistently upset about it. I can fix it. So I will teach people how to promote themselves so that they can earn the money they deserve. Because as I complain about the yoga studio industry doesn't pay well, there's a lot of other ways for yoga teachers to make money. special events, private teaching, blah, blah. There's many things, but mm-hmm. they have to know how to promote themselves. So yeah. I'm just solving that problem.
There you go. I love it.
Yeah, and that I did tangent a little bit. You asked about the grieving process.
Oh, you're okay.
I apologize. But so there was probably when I officially left my home teaching studio, I cried for 2 weeks. I didn't do much else because I had to let go of that dream. Mm-hmm. And once I really let go of that dream, and not like let go is maybe the wrong wording. When I realigned that dream to something honestly truer to myself and more helpful, because there's a million yoga teachers out there. I'm pretty damn good at it, but like, so are they.
Oh, that sounds familiar. Personal trainer turned lifestyle coach.
Right. It's like, and I don't think I could have been in that situation. I don't think I could have gotten where I am now without going through that. I needed to be inside the situation, to see the problem clearly, to meet the needs of the problem. And that's how I moved out of the grieving process. So I was like, oh, now I have to take action. Yeah. Now I've grieved, and like I felt the pain, I felt it long enough. Now I have to move towards the vision that I was talking about the whole time.
Mm, there you go. I love it. So I am trying to be really cognizant of time, and I told you I would only take an hour, and we're hitting the hour. So I want to ask you one last question. Kind of a fun, light way to end it. What is your favorite thing right now? And you can, favorite thing, favorite human, favorite whatever. And you can take that however you want, personally, professionally, whatever. What's your favorite right now?
Oh, that's so good. Okay, I have immediately so many answers. I will tell, relevant to this conversation, my favorite thing is deleting the Instagram and Facebook apps off of my phone. I delete both of them at least once a day so that I can be focused and present without even the temptation of having them.
Mm. Nice.
And I love it. You should try it.
Probably I should. You're probably right, as you often are. Oh, well, thank you so much. Can you, because I cannot imagine that people are not going to want to connect with you after being introduced to you here. So how do they do that?
Oh, so great. I love that because we're all like, how do we connect? And this is exactly it. The place that I'm most active is Instagram, and you can find me there at Bad Abs. That's BAD.ABS. And I spend 90% of my time in the DMs, having conversations, connecting with people, and I would love it if you were one of those people, especially if the things that we're talking about today resonate with you. Like, let's actually talk like real humans about it. If you are less into social media or want to just like see more of like the backscape of who I am, my web URL is badmarketingco.com.
All right.
And that's me.
Awesome. Well, guys, you guys can find all that in the show notes. And along with that link to Glennon's fundraising, her charity. And I have to ask, sorry, I lied. I have one more question for you. What's your favorite coffee?
Oh, okay. So that's an impossible question to answer, but I'll tell you what I've been drinking a lot of lately.
Fair.
If you guys don't, if you've never seen me on Instagram, I talk about coffee every single day. It's why I get out of bed in the morning. And lately that has been my friend Diane's salted fat mocha. It's like a really healthy paleo maybe version of a mocha latte, but it's incredible and delicious.
Mm. I see a Instagram post in your future so we can find out how we go about making that happen in our lives, Ebs.
Oh, I should definitely do that. I will do that.
Sounds good. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time. And I stole a couple extra minutes, so I apologize.
Not at all. I apparently had a lot to say.
Oh, I love it. So it's always great connecting with you, Abby. And we will maybe do this again soon, if that sounds good to you. Because I think there's some more we could probably jam on.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. Well, guys, thank you for listening today. And we will have, like I said, everything for you in the show notes. Have an awesome day. Thanks for listening to this episode of Journeyers Podcast. To connect with me, your host, Susan Clark, check me out on Insta at HT Performance LLC. Email me at susan.clark@healthtrainingperformance.com or just check out my website, healthtrainingperformance.com. I'd love to hear from you and hear about anybody you know who has an amazing story of resilience and authenticity. Have a great day.